Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Again, it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've got some great news to share today, and it really ties to this word that we've been talking about the last 2 days, and that is sanctification. And that is a powerful word, a powerful biblical word. It's not a word that we use in day-to-day language, but it's a word that God chose to use to describe what's happened to each and every one of us through faith in Jesus Christ. And here's the verse we're going to share today, or the passage. It starts in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul raises a question, or do you not know that wrongdoers, and really I think that's a poor translation, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So as far as God's concerned, when he looks down upon this planet, he sees two types of people, those who are lost and need salvation and those who are saved. Those who are lost and need salvation are unrighteous. Those who are saved and have come to faith in Jesus, they've been justified and they are righteous in God's sight. So he's saying, don't you know that the unrighteous, those that are lost, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So all of these sins are what the unrighteous people do. That's where they live. That's their lifestyle. And then he says this, and this is the good news, and that is what some of you were. All of us were one time lost, and we were part of that crew that would not inherit the kingdom of God. But something has happened to us through faith in Jesus. We were washed. We were sanctified, set apart. We were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Boy, is that ever good news to realize that through faith in Jesus, we were washed clean of all of that. We were set apart for God's use, justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something dramatic that has happened because of the work of Christ and our response to that grace through faith in him.
Well, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, Andrew Farley is joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me. And Andrew, let's hear from you.
Yeah, you know, Bob was sharing this passage, and again, I think it comes back to that first statement that we were unrighteous. But I can't tell you how many people, you know, have emailed me over the years, and I'm sure all of us get these sort of emails, guys, where people say, well, you know, I've been greedy, and you know, there was that those times that I did get drunk, and, you know, I've slandered people, and, you know, I haven't been very good with my money at times over the years. So, in other words, I've stumbled. I'm a Christian who has stumbled in these ways, whether it was drunkenness or slandering or greed or a sexual sin, being sexually immoral with someone. So will I not inherit the kingdom of God because I've done these things? And I think the point that Bob made at the outset of all this is really important for folks who have felt themselves to be in that situation, that this is actually talking about your former identity as someone who lived in these things and walked in these things. And the good news is that if you're a Christian, then you're not unrighteous. As Bob said, you're not unrighteous, you're the righteous. You're not a child of wrath, you're a child of God. You're not in Adam, you're in Christ. So it makes a world of difference to know who you're in and to identify yourself so that this passage doesn't trip you up. And what you discover then is, as a child of God, part of your identity is washed and sanctified and justified. And I think today, as we get an opportunity, I know we're going to take calls and answer questions that are out there, but even this word sanctified has certainly been abused or misunderstood. Oh, you know, I'm waiting to see if I'll be sanctified, that sort of attitude. But here it's in past tense, and it just means we're set apart and reserved for God, and he's totally crazy about us, and we're on his team now. We're set apart and reserved for him.
You know, guys, we've looked at this definition the last couple of days of sanctification, and one of my favorite definitions is to function properly. And when we were unrighteous, when we were lost, when we were sinners by nature, we didn't function properly. We didn't carry out the purpose and the function that God had originally designed. But now in Christ, because we've been washed, we've been cleansed of all that, we've been declared righteous, now we can function as God actually intended us to function. And that's to walk by faith in Jesus. And that's only possible for those who are believers, those who have been declared righteous in God's sight. So this is just such a powerful declaration of good news. And, you know, when we hear good news, it's something that's happened in the past that benefits us today. And the fact that we were washed, we were sanctified, that carries implications right now, right at this very point. Right now, if you're a believer, you have been set apart for God's use. As you trust him, you can see him live his life through you.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad you've joined us. If you have a question, we'd love for you to join us by phone. The lines are wide open right now at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Guys, you know, just recently we heard from a listener named Alicia, and she said, "Your words on the radio every weekday are the reason that I'm walking in Christ. I am a faithful supporter of your ministry, and I will continue to do so as long as there is breath," she says, "running through this temporary body of mine." Well, Alicia heard truth on Basic Gospel, and now it's helping us reach out to others who need to hear that God loves them. If you've been touched by what you've been hearing on Basic Gospel, we invite you to join us and Alicia and help share this message with people literally all over the world. Please make your best possible gift today if you can. BasicGospel.net is the place to go, and you can click donate on any page there at that website, BasicGospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. Either is a good way to support Basic Gospel and the message of God's unconditional love and grace and his forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, a question from Rick, who writes to us from Brooklyn, New York, says, "When listening to people at church or Christian radio, there seems to be talk about getting a fresh anointing from God, as if they had an anointing that lasted only a little while and now they need a refilling of it. However, when reading the Bible, I've never come across this. Is there something that I'm not understanding, or have they not learned to walk in the power of God through Christ's death?" That's from Rick in the Bronx, in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, I think we have to come to the realization that we have an anointing. That's what the Apostle John tells us. You know, we're told in the New Testament that we have an anointing from God and that we need no one to teach us. That doesn't mean that the teachers and pastors and preachers and fellow believers in Christ don't serve a function. We of course do. I mean, we all are united together in Christ, and we're meant to be a blessing to each other as God uses us to encourage one another. But the reality is that it is God's anointing, the Holy Spirit living in us, that is our teacher. I mean, he said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And that's the anointing we have. The Bible says, you know, Paul tells the Romans that if you don't have the Spirit, in other words, if you don't have the anointing of God's Spirit, then you don't belong to God. So it's not that, you know, you're a Christian and you belong to God and then later you get the anointing. It's not that, you know, we have this second blessing or this second portion that comes our way. And when Paul talks about what we have as Christians, he says that we are complete, that we lack nothing, that we have everything we need for life and godliness. So guys, I don't know about you, but I think it really puts us in a predicament when we start trying to push the false idea that it's great that you're a Christian, but now you need more. It's great that you know, you're saved and that you're going to heaven, but now you need a fresh anointing, and then we expect God to fall down fresh and come into this place and be in this room and be in this church service with us. It's almost like we're calling upon him with an old covenant perspective, when we really need to see, wait a minute, I'm the temple of God. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. I'm complete. I don't need to wait, hope, beg, or plead for any new portion. I've got all I need in him.
Yeah. And this passage that you mentioned early in the conversation in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says this: the anointing you receive from him remains in you. So it's impossible to, you know, lose that anointing. If the anointing you received remains in you, guess what? It remains in you.
Yeah.
He will never leave you nor forsake you. I think one of the things that you bring up, Andrew, is this interesting deal. There's, you know, there's just this one class of Christians, and then there's the super Christians, you know, the anointed ones. And, you know, we can't dare touch those anointed ones. And that division is not seen anywhere in the Word of God. We're all equal in the body of Christ, aren't we? There's no really division between clergy and laity. We're
right.
All a part of this royal priesthood. We all have the opportunity to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into light. That's what this new covenant is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's exactly where we need to put a stake in the ground and say, I'm not going to give in to the sales pitch of needing more. When religion comes knocking, I'm going to declare that not just am I heaven bound, and not just am I righteous in some sort of accounting sense, but the reason that I'm righteous is because I've been given Christ's life, and I've been equipped with him, and I'm complete. And so I have fullness, Colossians says. I have fullness in him. So that's where I can say no to the sales pitch when it comes my way. And instead, basically, we're saying I need to rest in the sufficiency of Christ Jesus. And this anointing idea, the idea that it somehow comes later or comes more completely at a future date, it can really rock people's security in Christ. And I think we need to see, you know, when God gives of himself to us, he gives us all of him that we will ever, ever need.
Yeah. I remember years ago, I grew up in a Methodist church, and we went from kind of a liberal, atmosphere and culture and that sort of thing. And we just heard a lot of stories and, you know, social justice and those sort of things. And then we got another pastor. They called another pastor in, and he was more biblically oriented, but was swinging toward, you know, a second work of grace in the giving of God's Spirit. And he went to a passage, a story in the Gospels, I think Mark records it, and maybe one other, where Jesus was healing this blind man. And he wiped the mud on and everything, and he said, "What do you see?" And he says, "Well, I see like trees walking." Mm-hmm. And then Jesus touched his eyes again, and when he opened them the second time, he saw more clearly. I mean, he saw perfectly clear. And mm-hmm. and so they use that as, see, you get saved, you know, with the first touch of Jesus, and then you get the gift of the Spirit with the second touch. And boy, that puzzled me. And I had a question mark in my head for years about that passage. But then when you put that story in the narrative of what's happening, he's describing the disciples. They had a revelation concerning Jesus, that he was the Son of God. And God had given them that revelation. Peter stood up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But then when Jesus went on to say, "Listen, guys, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be flogged. Then I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. And on the third day, I'm going to raise back to life." They had no clue what he was saying. And Peter said, "Oh, no, 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 this will never happen to you." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because he was seeing things from a human perspective. He had gained some clarity about who Jesus was, but had no idea about the full scope of his work in conquering sin and death through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that was to come later. And so this pastor was saying, see, you get a touch from Jesus, and then you get the Holy Spirit. And it's like, no, just read the gospel accounts, and you'll see exactly what Jesus is saying. And I think it's so important for us to really grab hold of what you were saying there, Andrew. We are complete in Christ. We've been set apart for God's use. There's nothing more that God is going to add to any one of us who are believers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, friends, we have a gift for you when you sign up for Ministry Emails. It's our ebook, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. It's a powerful resource to set you on the path of joy and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get your free electronic copy today simply by clicking subscribe at basicgospel.net. Subscribe at basicgospel.net. We would love to see your name on the email list.
Yes, indeed.
844-322-2742. Time on the clock remaining, and we encourage you, if you've got a question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question from Kendrick, who listens on our great Dallas area affiliate, KWRD-FM. He says, I've been believing in the Lord Jesus Christ now for a little more than a year, but I still have trouble controlling my thoughts. It troubles me because these are thoughts, they're thoughts that are really, really bad, blasphemous, obscene, and more. How can I control these thoughts? Do these thoughts make me less of a believer? That's from Kendrick, who lives in the Dallas area.
Well, first and foremost, Kendrick, we really appreciate your transparency and your willingness to ask this question, which, quite frankly, hundreds or thousands of people listening right now would have a similar question, I would think. At some point in our lives, we all ask, hey, what's going on? If I'm such an eager, sincere child of God, then where's all this stinking thinking coming from? And first and foremost, I would say, don't at all be alarmed by it. The Bible tells us that it's going to happen. Number one, being tempted by such thoughts is not sin. We get thoughts of all kinds all the time. In fact, you know, it's really a great revelation, and in fact, revealing to us and relieving that the flesh is capable of serving up any kind of thought in any given moment. Don't be alarmed at what the flesh might offer in terms of attitudes and potential actions and that sort of thing. That's what the flesh does. So we've got old patterns of thinking, and then we've got this power called sin that entered the world at the fall, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. We had this power called sin come in, and it brought with it all kinds of heinous ideas, all kinds of heinous attitudes. And those things come at us, sometimes a million miles an hour. I know, guys, that, it's just part and parcel of the Christian life that we would be tempted. But the good news is that, Kendrick, Jesus Christ has freed you from that power called sin. And while some people are a slave to it, we are not. So you don't have to act like a slave. A lot of times the bark of those thoughts can be very intimidating. But remember that the enemy is all bark and no bite. You don't actually have to submit or succumb to those thoughts. And so, one of the big deals, I think, in the Christian life, at least for me, was when I came to the realization that a thought may be very loud in volume, and it may be very frequent in terms of frequency, but the volume and the frequency of a thought do not determine where it comes from. So I could be pestered with a thought that's very loud and continuous, but it doesn't mean it's from me, and it certainly doesn't mean it's from God. I need to identify in my thought life by the content of the thought, not the frequency. So if this is not of God, then it's also not of me. It's not of my heart. It's not of my spirit. And I'm dead to this, and I don't want anything to do with this. But I am not at all surprised, alarmed, or shocked at the heinous thoughts that the enemy might serve up to me. But I'm not defined by those thoughts. That's not who I am. And that's an important distinction to make, Kendrick. And I think, Bob, it's in our mindset, we bring a new framework to all of our thoughts, and we say that thought's not of me, and that thought doesn't define me, right?
That's exactly right. I know I've asked at conferences a number of times, you know, and speaking engagements, you know, how many of you have been reading your Bible, and in the midst of reading, you know, the love of God, the worst thought that you've ever had races through your mind? Or when you're praying, the worst thought comes through your mind, and every hand goes up.
Yeah.
And you have to just realize those are just thoughts. They have no power. What gives them power is when you listen to them and when you try to analyze those thoughts and try to figure out, well, what's wrong with you? Well, nothing's wrong with you. You're a human being living in a fallen world, but as a child of God. And, you know, when you were talking, Andrew, I was thinking, you know, in today's society, we have a lot of talk about bullying, especially in schools and elementary schools, and how there's these mean old bullies, and they just wreak havoc in the playground and in the school halls and all that sort of stuff. And how do you stop that? Well, you stand up to it. You stand up to a bully and say, no more. And usually they just kind of cower away as the cowards that they are. And these thoughts, you know, you just stand up and say, hey, that's not me. That's not of God, just as you were saying. That's not of the Lord. I'm not going to listen to you. They tend to start going away, being the cowards that they are. And that's all Satan is. That's all these thoughts are, of the flesh and of sin. They're just cowardly. So stand up. And you'll see, as it says, resist the devil, he will flee from you.
Yeah. There's both of these last two questions are very closely related. If you think that you need to get more of the Holy Spirit, you've probably got a behavioral definition of what it means to have the Spirit. If you're having trouble in your thought life, it's because you have a behavioral definition of what it means to have a good thought life. As soon as we go to behaviorism in any form, Satan has it right where he wants us, because that's when the flesh takes over. The extent to which you focus on Jesus and you walk by grace through faith is the extent to which you understand that you have every gift you'll ever need, and that the Spirit is changing you from the inside out and renewing your mind and taking care of this thought life of ours. It must be by grace through faith, or we'll look at it behaviorally and we'll crash and burn every time.
Yeah. Well, guys, you know, we were talking about Alicia and her exposure to this ministry and her heart's desire to see it supported. And give us your thoughts on what it means to support this ministry. I think Bob and you and Andrew probably have some very, very insightful thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, you know, guys, Basic Gospel is just such a unique ministry. As you survey the landscape of ministries out there, you know, I'd like for all those out there listening just to think about how much do you hear about Jesus Christ and his finished work, and how often are you encouraged by the beauty of God's grace and how the depths of the gospel really meet our needs. And I think that's the sweet spot for Basic Gospel. As I join each week on Wednesdays and partner with you guys, what I appreciate the most about you and what I love the most about the last couple of decades that you've been ministering to others is that you always point people back to Jesus, right to Jesus, right to the cross, right to the resurrection. And if people want to support that, if people want to get behind this mission and this ministry, I would say that makes all the sense in the world. And so I encourage you to become a part of the Basic Gospel team. Go to basicgospel.net. Click on the donate tab. It'll take just a couple of minutes to sign up. Become a regular monthly partner with us. That's what we need most. And it sure would mean the world to me if you would consider joining up with the Basic Gospel team and help us get this message out.
Well, thanks, Andrew. I can't, you know, we started the program with the passage out of 1 Corinthians. It's a done deal, folks. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's the great news we get to deliver. That's the great news you get to deliver when you support this broadcast.
Absolutely. You can do that again by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speaking with our operator, Billy, at 844-412-2742. We're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.